This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org. And by Thrive and Financial for Lutherans, providing the financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Thrivent Financial. Let's thrive.
The price of ending pain.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. It's been 3 years since Merck pulled the pain medicine Vioxx off the market. A 2004 study showed it increased the risks of heart attacks and strokes. A wave of lawsuits followed, 27,000 of them. This morning, reports Merck has agreed to settle a significant portion for nearly $5 billion. It was rough and tumble for the stock market yesterday. Fed Chair Bernanke told a congressional committee the economy will slow noticeably. The Dow was down 200 points at its daily low, but the market clawed back, with the Dow finishing down just 34 to 13,266. Tech stocks were bludgeoned. The Nasdaq lost 2%. Asian markets were down overnight. European shares are little changed. It's day five of the film and TV writers' strike. California Governor Schwarzenegger is concerned about the economic impact. He's had behind-the-scenes talks with both sides. Meantime, in London, the grapevine is buzzing about U.S. producers scouting for non-union writers in the U.K. Let's bring in Adam Daughtry from Variety in London. Adam, you're reporting these writers would work on projects funneled through British production companies. This doesn't appear to break any rules.
Well, the fact is it's entirely legal and indeed legitimate and normal. American producers produce films out of the UK, often with British partners, and those films are typically almost always non-WGA films.
So having said that, is anyone in the UK asking these writers or advising them to exercise a bit of caution if they're in fact approached?
Yes, absolutely. I think certainly in these very early days of the strike, when things are very uncertain, there are a lot of people taking legal advice and nobody wants to make a mistake. The interesting question might be if the strike drags on in a month, 2 months, 3 months' time, you know, how long writers anywhere are expected to sit on their hands when they're being offered perfectly legitimate deals. If they're being asked to turn these sort of offers down, they're being asked effectively to go on strike for a union that they're not members of and whose terms they don't benefit from.
But if they were to do something in the future that would give them the opportunity to join the writers' union, that might put them in a difficult situation then, I would imagine.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the big fear. If you're a non-WGA writer in the UK, your fear would be that if you worked on a film that was somehow perceived by the WGA to be strike-breaking, that when you came to apply to the WGA sometime in the future, you would find yourself blackballed.
Adam Daughtry is a writer with Variety in London. Adam, thanks so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. And by Siemens. From grade school to grad school, Siemens supports America's next generation of innovators with Student Science Days, plus scholarships and awards for students, schools, and teachers. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
South Florida has a lot of Spanish speakers, but increasingly the language of Florida business is Portuguese. Brazil is the state's largest trading partner, and this week Florida Governor Charlie Crist spent time in Brazil solidifying those ties. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
Florida Governor Charlie Crist traveled to Brazil with representatives from 57 companies and the state's five main ports. Trade expert Carl C. Rise with Florida International University.
Brazil is key and vital to Florida. It's the number one trading partner by far.
Bilateral trade last year totaled $11 billion. Florida sold Brazil aircraft parts and computers. Brazil sold Florida furniture and orange juice. Governor Crist made various stops, but his most important was Barra Bonita, the world's largest biofuels refinery.
Brazil is the pioneer in ethanol technology. The puzzle is whether or not ethanol can be made more efficient than it currently is.
Governor Crist wants to turn Florida's sugarcane fields into fuel, and he's hoping to learn how from Brazil. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The European Union is first and foremost an economic union. One of its foundations is the free movement of labor. Workers from poorer countries have gone to wealthier ones. 2 million Poles have moved to the UK and Ireland for better-paying jobs. That's left Poland with a labor shortage. Now some Central Europeans are headed east to cash in, Brett Neely reports.
It's a cold Monday morning at a construction site in Brzeg, a small city in southwestern Poland. These workers are building a new supermarket. But they're speaking German, not Polish.
Things are really happening here.
Construction foreman Zigor Jens works for a German firm that's the lead contractor for this store. He says the firm has come to Poland because the construction market has gotten weaker in Germany.
We have to go further east. As you can see, here there's enough work for everyone.
Nearly all the 25 workers on the site come from eastern Germany. They earn German wages, starting at about $14 an hour. That's 2 to 3 times the going rate in Poland. The Germans are in Poland because there aren't enough Polish construction workers to do the job. And it's profitable territory. Building supplies are cheaper in Germany, so the Germans bring their own. They're also more skilled and use better equipment. Gerd Claiborne operates a crane with a remote control. He's delivering shingles to a team of workers on the supermarket's roof.
The roofers would have to bring the shingles up by hand, but I can drop the shingles exactly where they need them, and it goes much faster then. Normally, for a roof like this, it would take roofers 14 days to do it. We need 3.
Speed is just one reason German construction firms can reportedly do the job for 20% less than Polish firms, despite higher labor costs. Although they're paid well, some workers aren't exactly thrilled about coming all the way to Poland. But Mason Andre Gallows is philosophical.
What can I say? We have to be here. We belong to Europe. The Poles go to England, and we're coming here to Poland.
They'll have plenty of work. Once this supermarket is done, they'll start building another one up the road. In Brzeg, Poland, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Enjoy the weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.